All right, well, let's get to our next guest to talk about that very subject of Taiwan and Nancy Pelosi. We've got Richard McGregor, Senior Fellow at the Lowy Institute. Richard, thank you for joining us. I mean, at the end of the day, what's the upside for Nancy Pelosi to conduct this mission, if you can call it that? And secondly, does it risk effectively destabilizing or the arguably the most important conflict in the world right now, and that's Ukraine, which could result in China turning from putative Moscow ally to a real one?
Well, I think, you know, there's the personal upside for her. This is obviously a legacy trip. She's unlikely to be speaker for much longer. Many Republicans in particular and some Democrats are urging her on. So in that respect, she reflects a significant amount of the viewpoint in Congress itself. I wouldn't say it so much destabilizes the situation, but I do think it gives China an opportunity, which the US doesn't welcome, to just show how far it's come since the last Taiwan crisis. You know, it can conduct military operations now, live fire exercises, which surround Taiwan, something they couldn't do before. So this gives China to make a point to show how the balance of power around Taiwan has been absolutely transformed in its favor. And I think that that's the point they'll want to make.
So how about that question that was raised in the South China Morning Post? Confident superpower or insecure? Richard, I know you spent a lot of time in Beijing and wrote a fabulous book about the party. Which one is it, in your view?
Well, it's always been a mixture of one and the other. But I think the sort of insecure superpower sort of, you know, pushes them to sort of exceed what they've previously been able to do. I think, frankly, they, you know, if you had to ask me one or the other, China is increasingly confident. Obviously, the last year with COVID zero has struck that a little bit. But China is increasingly confident. It has America's measure, particularly in terms of the military balance in the region. So I would not underestimate China's growing power.
Richard, you didn't address the last part of my question, which was, does this actually turn Beijing more into a Russia ally now, or could it turn in that direction, in your view, as a consequence of this?
I think they'd already decided that. It doesn't affect that materially, in my view. China was squirming initially in the early days of the Russia invasion of Ukraine, but they've got their lines pretty much right since then. From their perspective, you know, this is a long-term partnership because they see long-term benefits from allying with Russia in many areas in terms of energy, foodstuffs, imports, and gathering as many friends on their side in the contest with the United States. So it might, you know, reaffirm that slightly, but I don't think it makes a material difference.
Neil Ferguson was on our air yesterday on this program, in fact, and one of the things that he was saying was that probably what China would likely do is to find a way to clamp down on the semiconductor industry in Taiwan. Is that something that they can do, and what sort of form would that take?
You know, I think that's a bit of a weird thing to say, if I might put it like that. China, I'm not quite sure what clamping down on the semiconductor industry means, but if you look at the market share of TSMC and UMC, 60% of the foundry market, if China's clamping down on that, they're clamping down on themselves, because these are all imports into the sorts of things that China assembles and then exports or uses itself. So I think any exercise that China has for Taiwan is not designed to damage TSMC. One day into the far distant future, they might like to think they would control it, but I don't think they want to clamp down on it.
Richard, give us your prediction of what the fallout of this is in the medium term.
You know, I think it is right to talk about the medium term. I think we're going to see an accumulation of measures. It's not going to be sort of one whiz-bang sort of form of retaliation. It's going to be military, it's cyber, it's political, it's trade. We've already seen some of these measures initially. I think the Chinese response is going to roll out over months, not just weeks.
Really quickly, Richard, some people think Russia's weaker after its escapade in Ukraine. Is China weaker now than it was a year ago because of COVID and other factors?
Well, it's less steady than it was a year ago. A year ago, we had, you know, Chinese state propaganda, which had some degree of credibility about how they had handled COVID better. I don't think they could say that anymore, and they're still in the throes of struggling to deal with this, whereas other countries have moved on. You know, the death rate is still lower.
All right, Richard, thank you so much for joining us. Old friend Richard McGregor, senior fellow at the Lowy Institute, with us here live on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.